Monday, September 25th, was one of those bleak nights when the shadows take over and are not repelled by the fast-drumming activities of the days. An author I liked when I was an impressionable 17 called them The Valley of the Black Pig. They both woke up about 3:30 and talked and talked and talked about when and how to make the statement that Lyndon is not going to be a candidate again. We talked about October the 7th, the date of the big dinner. Perhaps we have already passed up two possibilities, Lyndon's birthday and the election in Vietnam, certainly a successful high point, about Labor Day. I do not feel it can be October the 7th because these people are the ones who love us enough, who believe in us enough to have paid $1,000 to hear a speech made up of tough assurance and good cheer and some humor. In these discussions, I feel that Lyndon reaches out to me more than ever. And yet, I do not have the wisdom, the foresight for the answer. The only gift I have is the assurance that I will be content and happy saying goodbye to all this, much as I have loved it, deeply immersed as I have been in it every day, even the painful ones. Finally, we drifted off to sleep, and it was well after 8 when we woke up again and had coffee and juice. And my first appointment of the day was with the Tiffany people and Bess, down in the state dining room. It's 3 Monday mornings, and a table was set up, complete with gold plate and a Truman china, and a beautiful flower arrangement, all ready for a state dinner. Bess was presiding calmly, and there they were, the Tiffany people, suave and charming gentlemen with the wonderful name of Anthony Holberton Woods, and the artist with his sketches of the wildflowers. They're much better. The freer, looser designs of the flowers and less of them look lovely. We're almost there, in design at least, though we're 50,000 short of there in getting it. The service plates were elegant. They changed the eagle. I loved nearly everything, especially the dessert plates and the big bowls for fruit or just decorations. I suggested a very few changes and promised to send plates of the bluebell and maybe of the prairie phlox. And then we congratulated each other all around with that glowing feeling. And I went back upstairs for some desk work before I dressed for luncheon. Lyndon was having Sir Robert and Lady Menzies, an ambassador and Mrs. John Waller of Australia. Sir Robert is a legendary character. To me, Lyndon has talked so much about him, and I found him as delightful as his billing. Lyndon thinks he is just a notch below Winston Churchill in wisdom and in eloquence. He'd been lecturing at universities around the country, not, alas, at the University of Texas. A missed opportunity, and that, more than anything, makes me mad. A missed opportunity for our government, for ourselves, for the University of Texas. He was portly and enormously dignified, but quite humorous and very easy, too. Lyndon was obviously having a good time. They reminisced a bit, but mostly Sir Robert talked about how much he approved of what Lyndon was doing internationally, and how tough he knew it was. And then he said what everybody is saying in chorus these days. You've got to keep telling the people, go on TV. Only he said it better. Delightful story. In a campaign in Australia.